You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the depths of a digital abyss, where truth drowns in a sea of clickbait and algorithms, a beacon ignites. From the heart of Badgerland, from our studios on State Street in downtown Madison, Wisconsin, it's John and Gordy on 92.7 WMDX.
Hey, welcome again. It's the big show. John and Gordy in the morning on WMDX 92.7. Gordy is out again, and Sam will be filling in our producer while he still can. He's on his way out. He doesn't know it yet, but...
Now, I don't?
Yeah.
What do you have planned for me, John?
What technically is the last day that you're going to be producing this wonderful program?
Unless something changes, the end of May. So what is the last weekday of May?
Yeah. What is that?
May 30th.
May 30th. Okay. Yeah. And then you're heading off. You're going someplace, or you won't be around here anymore. You won't be able to stop in and say hello and.
Yeah, I'm getting deported to El Salvador.
Okay, well, see, that happens. it was a mistake, you know, but that's what happens with
right.
mistakes. You live with them, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so.
I'm going to work this summer up at a scout camp, summer camp in Rhinelander, Wisconsin. And then this fall, right now I'm still looking, but hopefully I'm going to be working as a substitute teacher.
Hmm. So you're leaving here, Madison, to go to summer camp?
Up north, yeah.
What's the first day you have to be there?
It's like a week later. So
okay.
Yeah, take a week off.
Well, that's good. That's good. I don't know why you want to be a summer camp counselor.
Sometimes I don't either.
When I was going to summer camp, I went to day camp. Mm-hmm. But I always wanted to be a counselor. I thought, gee, this is really a cool job. You know, you get to organize, you get to, you know, talk to the kids and inspire them and, you know, and direct them in the right direction. Not that I was going in any direction at all or knew what the right direction was. But, yeah, being a camp counselor was just a cool position to be in.
I thought at first you were going to say when you were at summer camp you were like the kid in the song Letter from Camp.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Where he's complaining about all the horrible things happening at his summer camp.
That actually is the story of my life when I went to overnight camp for 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Two whole weeks. You know, one is certainly enough, but two, oh, my God, no wonder. No one does that. No one goes to summer camp for 2 weeks unless you're, you know, of course— training to be in a militia somewhere, but yeah, it was the worst experience of my life ever. I got poison ivy, really bad, and I just didn't enjoy myself at all. Although they did have Olympic Day, and I really excelled at Olympic Day.
Were you an athletic kid?
And
you
just I actually was, not in school. I think I was about 13, 14, but. I was very good, you know, throwing sticks, as all young boys are, and I get this is true on Olympic Day I actually got the gold for the javelin throw.
Wow!
Yeah,
to 13-year-old John.
I know it freaks me out to this day. I actually threw it farther than any of the camp counselors. But I had, I watched a lot of the jungle movies way back then because everything was Jungle Jim, Tarzan, and I watched how the natives threw their spears.
And you copied them?
Well, here's the thing, you know, they're actors.
You're right.
They're not real natives. but I learned from them, and I realized that you don't throw a spear directly. You don't hold it in the middle. Mm-hmm. You hold it in the back because you're pushing forward all the weight, and the weight goes much further if you if it's all in front. So that was my secret, and that's how I did it.
If we ever bring stick throwing to the camp that I work at, then I'll take your advice, your guidance.
There you go. Now you know how to do it. It's, yeah. Do the Olympic Day thing. Boy, kids love it. But the worst part of summer camp was first thing in the morning, they made us go into the lake. Why would they do that, right? I think we were, you know, we drew the last straw as far as our cabins are concerned. We had to go into the lake first, swim, and then have breakfast. That was
before breakfast.
Truly a nightmare. I mean, it's a cold lake.
Right.
Cold mornings. Yeah. You don't need that kind of punishment. And then, of course, we had cereals. You know, they had the little boxes of cereals, the variety packs for all the kids. So we were so late getting in every time after, you know, swimming, ridiculous, that the only thing left was the cereal that had peanuts in it. And I hate, to this day, I can't imagine having a peanut.
Like a whole peanut? Your, it's not like peanut butter Captain Crunch or something?
No. not the crunchy style. It was actual peanuts, which seemed odd.
Yeah.
It's nothing like having a raisin in your cereal. Okay, let's get to the National Day calendar. Big day today. A lot of little events, stupid events. And aren't they all? Okay, so here we go. It's National Neck Care Day. It's Bucket List Day. All right. And I was curious as to what it really is. What is Bucket List Day? National Teach Children to Save Day. National Take Our Daughters and Sons to Work Day. See? Yeah, take them both. Wow, that's going to be fun. And Pigs in a Blanket Day. Yeah, yeah.
Sounds tasty.
Yeah. So why don't we get into one of these days, National Neck Care Day. You see all the ads on TV now where they have the special creams that you put on your neck to get rid of all the wrinkles when you get older.
I feel like your neck isn't the first part of you to get wrinkly, though. Why do you have a neck cream?
But it does. It is one of the first things to go and one of the first looks that kind of turn in your age a little bit. So, yeah, but they don't work. None of them work. They have this special cream. There's an ad now that's promising to just completely smooth everything out without surgery. And it's just ridiculous. But anyway.
You just got to do, this was, I think, a bit in the Simpsons movie. You got to take, all of the extra skin that you have that's, sagging out, pull it back on your neck and then pin it there with a clothespin so it looks nice and tight.
Well, that's the easiest way to do it. I think the surgery is similar to that.
Yeah.
So, it says here, our goal is to empower people with all skin types to stop neglecting the neck and decolletage. I don't know what that word is, and prevent common signs of aging that it can appear. Caring for the delicate skin on the neck is just as important caring for the skin on the rest of the face. No kidding. All right, it sounds looks like it's an ad, so I'm not gonna continue this one. All right, so it's National Bucket List Day. What is that all about? It reminds us it's never too late to set new goals, go on a dream vacation, and inspire people around you and enjoy the life that you have to the fullest. And there it is. Your bucket list is to be a camp counselor. By definition, a bucket list is of things a person would like to do but has never experienced before. Well, you have done that before. Some people refer to them as milestones, while some people refer to them as goals. Whatever you call them, a bucket list is a list of things a person would like to accomplish.
Do you have anything on your bucket list?
No.
Nothing at all?
Well, no.
If you died today, you could die happy?
Yes, actually, I could. But, you know, I do want to be here. I want to see the latest technology, and I want to see my kids grow up and get into the things that they're going to get into for the next, you know, 50 or 60 years for them. Yeah, that's about it. That's my bucket list. Hang on for a long time.
Yeah.
National Teach Children to Save Day. Good luck with that. each year on the fourth Thursday of April, National Teach Children to Save Day encourages children to develop good savings habits. Bankers across the country volunteer every year to teach kids to save. Wow. Do they really? Developing these habits as a young age creates foundations for lifetime savings, involving all children with savings plans, a managed...
Can you think of the first like big purchase that you had to save up for?
Was it
like a tape recorder or something?
Actually, it was.
I knew it.
It was a reel-to-reel tape deck.
Yeah.
A Wallensack. Mm. So anyway, National Take Your Daughters and Sons to Work Day. This is always fun. You know, it's always, you know, so they were separate for a while. This annual event is an educational program in the United States and Canada where parents take their children to work with them for one day. The day is designed to help children explore the workforce. It inspires children to see the different roles required to run a business or build a project. They may find it interesting, and who knows, you know, maybe even know what their parent does for a for a living, right?
Maybe this is just a veiled attempt to get kids accustomed to child labor. Maybe they're putting them to work when their parents bring them in for the day.
Yeah, that's I didn't think about that. Yes, you know,
Your dad works in a steel mill or something like that. Bring your kid in for the day.
Yes. Wow. Yeah, that would be a bad time. We all imagine him, you know, going into some kind of office atmosphere.
Right, yeah, exactly.
But yeah. That would be terrible. okay, Pigs in a Blanket Day. This is celebrated around the world. Refers, of course, to hot dogs or sausages wrapped in a biscuit or croissant dough and then baked. Now,
my mouth is watering.
Now, I think most people like that. They kind of steer clear of it even when it's offered free at parties, only because you can fill up on it. And they usually have better appetizers.
Yeah, that's true.
But
they're not good for you exactly.
Well,
either.
That you know, I want to get to that because you know, all the nitrites that they have in these products, you don't want that. So if they're nitrate free, that's the way to go. And those are the kind of sausages I get. I know that Oscar Mayer for a long time put out the nitrate free hot dogs. And I never knew why that no one bought them. They just sat there on display, but the regular hot dogs went like crazy. I guess they were a little more expensive, but you don't want to get all that stuff. And then I read an article where
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
WMDX 92.7, John and Cordy in the morning. John in alone today, except we, of course, have producer Sam, and he will certainly participate in the frivolities. We have a few hundred stories to get to today. And I'm just looking at a text here from Catherine. As long as it's the show as usual. You know, we never did settle that, Catherine. You know, you never did give me the information I requested, but that's okay. That's all right. I'll tell you what, we have not gotten to the weather forecast, and I do want to, you know, just give you an idea of what is going to happen today before we talk to Brittany Merlot a little bit later after 7 o'clock. Currently around 58 degrees. It feels like 56. And boy, you know, you certainly want to dress for that. High today around 73. Oh, you know, the thing is, I should have looked up the humidity because I think it's going to start affecting how we feel that heat is. And it's going to be a low of 46 supposedly tonight. And there's a chance of showers this morning still. There is a band of showers moving kind of our way. You never know where it's going to move. But it is nearby, and there's a chance, a very slight chance of showers this afternoon.
You got outside at all yesterday afternoon when it was really nice?
I did, yes.
I slept gorgeous. Again for like 3 hours yesterday afternoon, and I woke up to head back to the station because I produced Peach Wobba last night.
Mm-hmm.
And it was warm enough that I had to like just go down to my T-shirt. I've been wearing long sleeves for forever now, all winter long. And it was finally warm enough.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm going to have to start walking again.
You don't walk anywhere?
Well, shopping.
Well,
you know,
through
Costco. The long miles through Costco. I like to make a round around Middleton. I like to do a lap. It's about 1 mile exactly.
Yeah.
So it's kind of fun to do and get you out there. You notice things you didn't notice before.
You've been living at your house for like 30 years, John. What else is there to notice?
Well, you never know. You know, the neighbors might put a new bush in. They might paint their house. They might put a new garage door. You know, somebody might be selling their house. Somebody you didn't expect to sell their house. Stuff like that. And we've got the brewery nearby. You know, you see some of the drunks, you know, spread out on the park benches.
I was
going to
say,
there.
Dear God, I hope my life never gets this mundane. But the last.
Well, you're just taking a walk. That's all you're doing. It's not a tour.
Yeah.
But you know, that's why people. Yeah, they used to have people walking through malls. Now that seems like a really boring situation, right?
Yeah. When Sophia's parents were here for her birthday and for Easter this past weekend, they decided to go for a walk, but it was raining out, so they said, "Let's just go for a walk at the mall." And I was like, what?
Yeah. Well, it used to be a thing way back when. Yeah, when we had all those malls, and now they're just outdoor malls, I believe, just like Hilldale, which is gorgeous. Anyway, let's get into the history books now that we know a little bit about the weather and taking walks.
Is it time to? It's so dusty. Do I have to dust it off?
Well, I guess so this time. You know, I don't like opening the book. There we go. One of these days, you're just going to have to start wearing the mask when you do this. It could be dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
But you're not going to get any
dangerous
help from RFK Jr. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. RFK doesn't care.
No, he doesn't.
What happened today?
Yeah.
Have you ever been to the Library of Congress?
No.
Today in 1800, the Library of Congress was, what's the word? Like a created, I guess. Yeah, that's the word.
With funding. Yeah.
Yeah, Congress approved funding for the Library of Congress for the first time.
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
Yeah, they went a whole 9-10 years without having it, though, in the 1700s, which was a little surprising to me. It's now the biggest library in the world, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm. I'm surprised they aren't banning a whole bunch of books in that library.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Here's the thing, and I thought of this the other day. I mean, we went to D.C. and took the tour, and actually, we walked. We walked a lot of miles.
Yeah.
But what's it like now? You know, now that DOGE has been in there, right?
I don't know.
And
I was
they've emptied
there on a school
the buildings.
Trip in 20, 2016.
Yeah, what's there to see? A lot of closed buildings, no one around.
Yeah, it's just an abandoned city.
An abandoned city at this point. So I don't know. D.C., maybe not the place to go anymore.
I got to ask my roommates. A bunch of them are from D.C.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Ask.
Yeah. Today, in 1898, Spain declared war on the United States. The Spanish-American War.
Mm-hmm.
Well, U.S. had kind of blockaded Spain's colonies in the U.S., Cuba and a couple other places a couple days before. They never declared war, though. Spain was the first to actually get things going.
All right. Well, that's a big day.
The Hubble telescope was launched on this day in 1990. Have you seen like comparisons between the James Webb telescope and the Hubble telescope?
No, I have not seen comparisons.
Hubble's, 35 years old now?
Yeah.
James Webb is probably...
And they
five or ten.
It replaced the lens in the Hubble.
Yeah. Like when I learned about that when I was in school, I was so surprised.
Yeah.
Like it was just funny. How could they let something like that happen?
You think they would have looked at it or checked it twice, three times before they did anything like that?
It's just like that. I think it was some space probe to an asteroid where there was a unit conversion error. Somebody did their units for the measurements in U.S. units, and everything else was in metric, obviously. It caused the spacecraft to land and crash.
As the 21st century began, human evolution was at a turning point, a dumbing down, until humanity was incapable of solving even its most basic problems.
This is grade A, weapons grade stupidity.
Just doing my civic duty, sir.
We can duck and cover. There's a fallout shelter right there.
There's no way to survive this, you idiot!
Idiocracy.
For the smartest guy in the world, you're pretty dumb sometimes.
Stupid all the time. John and Gordy in the morning. Gordy's out. We have Sam, the producer, helping us out here in the morning. And we've got some really dumb things to get to. And you probably won't believe some of it, but it's real. We don't make this stuff up. And that's why we play the actual cuts, the actual comments from the individuals who are guilty of being stupid.
But before we dumb ourselves down in idiocracy,
yes.
I got to say that this show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. One thing that remains the same and remains constant about Verlo Mattress since their founding in 1958 is that they're still direct-to-consumer and provide superior products at unbeatable prices. You can find Verlo Mattresses on two locations, on Madison's east side and west side, or online at verlo.com.
All right. Let's talk about health care here. This is kind of a big deal. You know, I've been emphasizing that an awful lot here on the show. We should have universal health care. It takes care of everything. We don't have to worry about Medicare, Medicaid, all the problems that go with that, fraud, abuse, none of that. We just go to the doctor when we need to, and that's it. It's done. You know, the government pays the bill for the insurance. That's so simple, isn't it? Well, anyway, there are a few opinions out there, and the killing of the healthcare CEO is still in the news. People are still talking about it. Hannity is still beating that horse. Anyway, it put a spotlight on the U.S. health industry. And an emergency room doctor and associate professor at Columbia University is frustrated with the whole situation. So let's listen to his comment, cut number 95.
As you write in the New York Times, that really then manifests with you as the doctor. You write, it is critical for me as a physician to build trust with my patients by giving them clear answers. But the conversations we're seeing now about healthcare remind me that insurance unknowns don't just compromise the care I can deliver my patients. They also undermine the fragile doctor-patient trust. It's an unsustainable dynamic. Just tell me how that shows up for you as you are trying to administer care.
Yeah, so I'm part of the healthcare system. I see patients in emergency room. Oftentimes, they are extremely sick, life and death situations. And the last thing they should be worrying about is if they could pay for their care. And recently, I had a man. He was very sick. His heart rate was very slow. I needed to admit him to the hospital. And he beckons me closer. And I thought he was going to ask, am I going to be okay? Am I going to live? But instead, he asked me, is my insurance going to pay for all of my care if I get admitted to the hospital? And I didn't know the answer to that. I didn't even know what his health plan was.
Yeah. So a lot of questions asked at that time. And I've never understood why we allow this kind of torture to take place in society. You know, when you're sick or you feel sick or you feel like you need to see a doctor, we always think, well, how are we going to pay for it? What a strange thing to have to think about. When you're not feeling good or you have a problem or you get injured, you just shouldn't have to think like that. You know, I think it adds to the trauma of the whole situation anyway. But anyway, that's a concern. That would be no longer a concern with universal health care. Now, the megas have told us over and over, they just don't connect that one line, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness with health care. They just don't. It doesn't occur to them. And the Republicans at this point are so dug in that they will not admit that we deserve health care. It's a human right. It's something we all should have. All the industrialized countries in the world have universal health care for them, some form. There are a lot of different ways of providing universal health care in every one of these countries. I remember Japan went toward that. They did an investigation for 10 years. They looked at all the different styles of health care in all the other countries that provide it, and they took the best of the best. And of course, even then, even when you do that and you piece all this stuff together, it may not work out. They'll find some problems and they'll want to get rid of some of the things that didn't work or maybe make a few adjustments. Unlike Obamacare, which, you know, what was put together and we expected to make changes as we found some things didn't work and something else would work better. Republicans dug in and they wouldn't allow Obamacare to be changed in any way, shape or form to make it better. Fortunately, of course, we increased the tax subsidy. It's a tax credit. We increased that during COVID, and that's about to expire at the end of this year. And I think the administration has indicated that they will not extend it. So that's going to raise everybody's premiums per month by $200 to $300, which means a whole bunch of people won't be able to afford health care anymore, and we're right at square one again. But anyway, Ron Johnson has the belief that it's a privilege, and he's not the only one. I hear this a lot from a lot of the Republicans out there, and this was a moment here in Wisconsin. He was actually in front of a group of college students, and one college student asked him a question. Why don't we listen to this give and take? And this is jaw-dropping stuff where he actually is telling them that it is a privilege, and the reasons why, and it is mind-bending. Let's listen.
Do you personally consider healthcare as a privilege or a right?
I think it's probably more of a privilege. Do you consider food a right? Do you consider clothing a right? Do you consider shelter a right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What we have as rights is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Yeah.
Past that point, you know, we have the right to freedom.
What?
Past that point, everything else is a limited resource that we have to use our opportunities given to us so that we can afford those things. Mm-hmm. So the minute you consider healthcare a right, well, who's going to satisfy that right? And those people that have the skill to satisfy that right, what does that make them if they're forced to provide you with that rightful product or service. So I think it's obviously a privilege to have food and shelter.
Yeah, it's a privilege.
Okay, Mr. Silver Spoon.
Isn't that incredible?
Boy.
Yeah, I know. He definitely did not earn.
We don't even have
his millions.
The words right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in any like law binding document. It's not in the Constitution.
Right, it is.
It's in the Declaration of Independence, Ron.
Yep. So the whole thing here is that this is kind of how the country was started. You know, this was the idea, the general idea of the United States, putting this thing together, and we should have this right. And I believe it. The Constitution, the preamble, is something that, from what I remember reading, is never used as an argument in any Supreme Court decision. They don't use the preamble.
Maybe not as an argument, but as a moral guiding light.
That's what
the point of the Constitution is supposed to be.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So anyway, that is shocking stuff. And again, we're isolated. The United States has that kind of attitude. No other country has that kind of attitude, that it's a privilege that we have health care. Just shocking stuff. Or food or housing.
Exactly. If you want to promote the general welfare, you got to have your citizens fed, clothed, and healthy, right?
Right.
Otherwise, you're not well.
And we've talked about the universal basic income, which is taking place across the country. They're testing this thing out, and it's always tested positively. It hasn't shown anybody who's taken advantage of getting $500 a month and just laying back on their couch watching TV or playing games. It's not like that. People get that taste of money, and they want to get more and buy more, and it feeds on itself. Anyway, we've got a phone call here. Let's go to Mark on the line right now. Mark, what do you got for us?
And it's not just in the preamble of the general welfare. It's also in the body of the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, I believe.
Hmm?
Promote the general welfare.
Oh, yes, there it is.
I mean, I think promoting the general welfare is actually having a healthy population. And Ron Johnson should be remembered that we all are paying for Ron Johnson's health care. That he's a multimillionaire, but we still pay for his health care as part of his remuneration as being a senator.
That's right.
So Ron Johnson can pucker up and...
Yeah, I know.
AMA.
I know, and it's crazy because they're holding health care away from the public. We're paying for theirs. They don't seem to get the connection at all,
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they don't give a rip.
Yeah, they don't. All right, Mark.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot for clarifying that. All right. And remember, Mitt Romney also had a comment that he made in front of a whole bunch of millionaires. You remember that comment? I have it here. Romney said of Obama voters back in 2012, there are 47% who are with him, who are dependent upon government, who believe that they are victims, who believe the government has a responsibility to care for them, who believe that they are entitled to health care, to food, to housing, you name it. Just the grocery list of things they need. These are people who pay no income tax. Believe it or not, that's what he said. Of course, the poor pay taxes, more taxes than the wealthy eventually pay. So this actually lost him the election.
Yeah, it's like what Mike McCabe was saying yesterday. I loved his analogy with it's not like we're rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic.
Yeah.
It's like we're throwing paying passengers overboard in order to build larger first-class cabins.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This was a story, I believe, yesterday where a court decided that Voice of America had to come back. They had to restaff it and put it back on because it was an important element of what this country does worldwide. And the president didn't have any power to do away with the Voice of America and all the other broadcast systems that the U.S. Sponsors around the world. And this is something that, we're talking about. I have a whole feature on this on NPR defunding. They want to defund NPR again. And I just want to play this cut. 153, I believe it's in that same folder. Is this Marjorie Taylor Greene? No? Is it? Okay.
No.
All right. Well, anyway, they want to...
We're digging deep here.
They want to definitely defund NPR. And they don't like Sesame Street. And we'll be getting to a special feature on that a little bit later on. I've been kind of chomping at the bit to put this thing together. We've got a great day coming up. You know, slight chance of showers here and there. I don't believe them. I never did. 58 degrees currently, high around 73 today, low tonight about 46. John and Gordy in the morning. We'll be back with more.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Okay, yeah, we got about a minute left. Where are you on the road to?
I'm actually doing an AI presentation in Philadelphia.
Ooh. Oh, hang on. Let me check.
All right, here we go. I came across something. I know you guys were talking about AI. And going at it again, you guys. Boy, oh boy, we have to get somebody in there to referee. Have you heard of Conmigo?
Conmigo, yeah.
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 And that's in Newark. I wanted to just bring that up, and maybe if you could fill in a few blanks on that. I also have a cut, by the way.
Ten seconds.
An executive order on discipline in classrooms. You want to hear that one?
Yeah, bring them.
Man, dig this crazy pad. Man, it's a mad pad.
WMDX, John and Gordy in the morning. John Peterson with producer Sam. And we have been able to connect with Tim Slecker this time from Busted Pencils. On the road. He's on the road to find out. And it's good to have you here this morning.
Thanks, John.
We've got a few things to talk about. You know, you do have your podcasts, and in one of them, you and Johnny go at it again about AI.
Yeah.
Is there any hope that we're going to ever agree on AI? Or maybe if we at least find a direction for AI in the classroom, it's going to be a big help, I think, at this point. But you're familiar with Conmigo.
Conmigo. It comes from Sal Khan and the Khan Academy, mm-hmm. which was, a place for students to go and get help for math help that Sal Khan created. Now, Conmigo is a personalized AI tool that actually has been loaded. And in fact, we interviewed one of the distributors way back, Jason, I cannot remember his name, but we actually did a whole show on Conmigo, mm-hmm. And how it is actually being used in lots of classrooms, from this idea of it's a personalized learning tool that students can access and teachers can use to kind of help create customizable lessons for students based on the level they're at, and to help students with any types of remediation. And it's from the standpoint of saying, you know, if we can do this, we can help students that need skills gaps closed.
Yeah.
Students that need to progress faster are able to progress faster using this. And so it's an interesting concept. And we've been hearing about this whole idea of what's called personalized learning. And does AI have an ability to create that situation in real time? Conmigo is a commercial product trying to demonstrate that, yes, you can have personalized AI tutoring.
Now, the question I have is, obviously you have coursework, but then with Conmigo, it can speed up the process for those fast learners, correct?
Right.
And now
if
that happens, then they finish earlier. What happens? How does everybody else catch up?
You know, and this is one of those things when you start talking about, okay, speeding up some type of situation for students. And I think this is where we're going to go in the future. And this makes sense because we do finally have the tool within AI to allow not just the students who need to speed up, but us also to then go back and help the students catch up, the ones that aren't there. Mm-hmm. What that does, though, is that points out the reality that, you know, the kind of age and grade system that we use for schooling really doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
when you're in fourth grade and you're 9 years old and you're a fourth grade teacher and you're teaching 25 students, the academic ability of those 25 students can be anywhere from, you know, first grade reading level up to a ninth grade reading level. And some of that has nothing to do with, quote, kids being behind or kids being ahead. It's the reality that we all come to these places differently.
Yes.
And so the age and grade thing, when we think about this, really doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Other than if you go back to the Industrial Revolution, it's a great way to sort mechanized kids and get them ready to go out and work in the factories.
Yeah, that's true. Not great. And I understand some of the answers, they're a little concerned with some of the answer that Conmigo provides, maybe a little more like giving the answer to some of the questions.
Well, and I, you know, I think that is always, you know, the case of, you know, whether, you know, if you were doing term papers or reading, you know, big books in the 80s when you were getting the Cliff Notes, right?
Yes.
Teachers worried that we weren't really reading. Part of that was kind of true. I wasn't really reading because the Cliff Notes were better. Yeah. And I really didn't understand what Shakespeare was talking about when I had to read it. You know, it really puts the onus on teachers and schools to really step up and say, here's a new tool. How do we help students use it to maximize their learning? Because actually, yeah, the potential is that it could be a shortcut and potentially even hijack learning. But I think that's always the case. And this is why we're saying great teachers will always make a difference.
Yeah. I here's a new tool. This was an executive order signed yesterday by Trump. Discipline in the classroom. Let's go to cut 238 here, okay? Let's 238. All right, let's listen to it quickly.
We have an executive order on school discipline policies. Under, I believe it was the Biden administration, first Obama and then Biden, the Department of Justice issued guidance that made it almost impossible for schools to enforce adequate disciplinary policies. This created issues in the classroom for teachers and students alike. Basically, they focused on CRT and sort of diversity ideology instead of actually just enforcing the rules in classrooms to ensure a safe learning environment. This executive order revokes that prior guidance and puts us back in a place where hopefully the Department of Education can.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.